good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. If you want to join the show, you can leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we are going to have our guest join us in just a moment to talk about WWIC, Women in Wisconsin Conservation. First, though, it is that time, Greg Bach.
What time, Jane?
It is time for our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. There, every hour that we play, and we play this every weekday, this week, all through next week, at 7 a.m., 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. Those are the hours you can enter. So one person every hour picks up a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Package. Every day, one person picks up a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats. Nice seats.
Yeah, very nice
And then
seats.
We're going to have two grand prize winners who get their choice of a staycation. We even give you gas to get there and back.
That's the thing that really gets me. We're giving you gas.
I know, because we want you to have a nice time. So you can pick from Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, Door County, and every entry, whether or not you win or not, every entry is going into those grand prize drawings. So everyone's going to be entered.
How do you get an extra entry?
You can get a little bonus entry. Once we give you the word
and
you text it in, you will get a confirmation back. You click on that.
Yep.
And all we want you to do is go check your voter registration and make sure you're registered to vote.
That's it.
So it's an easy way to get an extra entry. And again, Todd Albaugh and I have this little unspoken competition going on.
I want sides. I want sides.
Andrew in Maine says it's already rigged. Okay. The word this hour.
Yes.
Is bubbler.
A controversial word.
Good
too.
Word. Good word.
It's a great word, but it's a controversial. Wait for it. And here it comes. I can feel. Yes. Oh, by the way, can I just tell you a really quick story?
Yeah.
Yesterday during the show while I was convalescing, actually the past 2 days, I had to take my smartwatch off.
Because all the texts that were coming
all in? The texts coming in between you and Todd just going off. I'm like, I got to throw this thing out.
Bubbler is the word. Use the Civic Media app to text the word bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R. You have until noon today to text that in and be in the drawing for some of these great, great prizes. We've had a whole bunch of winners already, so you can be among them. And I don't know, I did offer a couple suggestions for words that Todd should have next week.
Like what?
I don't know. I think chrysanthemum is a good word.
Chrysanthemum spelled perfectly.
Yeah.
It has to be spelled.
Easy to spell word. Everybody can text that in.
That's a great word. I think let's put that on the board.
Yeah. Whether or not, I mean, Aaron Carreno is the one who decides which words get used, whether or not he's going to take my suggestion.
You mean the very handsome and capable Aaron Carreno?
That same one.
Exactly.
So maybe chrysanthemum for Todd next week.
There you go.
It's a thought.
Yeah.
Right now, though, the word is bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R. Use the Civic Media app, text it in for our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest.
And if you text Water Fountain, we are blocking you.
Yes, that's true. Then we know you're from Illinois.
Yeah!
2024 Field Day Series with Wisconsin Women in Conservation kicks off with a farm tour and dinner at Bula's Pleasant Valley Farm in Baraboo. It is June 10th from 2:30 to 6 p.m. And the woman herself behind Pleasant Valley Farm in Baraboo, Maureen Bula, is joining us. Good morning, Maureen. Thank you so much for being here. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about your background, Maureen, and how you got into this and how you got involved with WWIC, which is Wisconsin Women in Conservation.
I grew up in Madison, so I am not a farm kid. Met this wonderful guy at UW-Madison, and he was a farm kid. We ended up in Baraboo thanks to his job, and eventually found 160 acres that has become home, built a home and a farm. And along that road, I taught for 31 years. I taught first grade in Baraboo, loved every minute of
You're
it.
You're a saint for and being a teacher. Thank you for being a teacher.
I still miss the little guys.
Do you?
But I guess... Oh, absolutely. The best thing is seeing the world through the eyes of a child. And we still get to do that on the farm. We bring out kindergartners from Baraboo every year to learn about the farm and animals. So we have fun one way or another. But our journey has been fantastic. My husband worked full-time, I worked full-time, and from the time our kids were little, we've had lambs, beef cattle, and pigs, and chickens. And I guess we enjoyed eating well. And for a long time, we were organic. When you're raising these little ones, you want to make sure they're getting the very best food. And as a teacher, I saw a lot of times kids coming to school and working on Pop-Tarts and a Mountain Dew. That doesn't go real far.
No, it really doesn't.
So I'm very passionate about getting good food to people. And that's what we do.
Well, I give you so much credit for being able to handle all of that. Both of you working full time and a farm and small children, the amount of juggling you must have done is truly impressive. And I'm sure that's not an uncommon experience for a vast majority of Wisconsin farmers.
Oh, that's very true. I think that's very true. Since retiring, though, both of our kids graduated from college and went into conservation.
They did.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's amazing. So here we have these two kids that have a vision, having grown up on an organic farm. We went conventional. I said non-GMO. If we're going to be conventional, it has to be non-GMO. And we've always maintained 5 acres as organic where gardens are. But our kids had visions as well. And I always like to say they're doing a good job of raising us now, because we have this 160 acres that we can take and we can be regenerative. And the things that I see on our farm, the food that we eat is fantastic. We now raise grass-fed beef and lamb. We raise pastured eggs and pastured broilers, and as well as Berkshire hogs. The hogs don't get out yet. Hopefully they don't get out, period. But we don't let them out onto pasture. We have goals. It's really, really neat to see how food changes and the land changes. We're no-till. We plant cover crops, and the soil is healthier. And it is amazing. A couple years ago, the kids convinced me to go from organic garden to a no-till organic garden. And I used to haul out the rototiller and till my gardens, and weeds were becoming such an issue that it was becoming impossible. I would lose crops due to weeds. You couldn't find them in there. They couldn't compete. The change that I've seen the last 3 years in my gardens is spectacular.
That's so interesting, Maureen. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I thought the whole point of tilling was to chop up all these terrible things and then, you know, you break them down and they go away. But I would assume all you're doing is retilling all these bad things into the soil over and over.
Absolutely. And tilling also kills a whole microbiome that lives in the soil. You have all these things that help plants access good nutrients, healthy, everything needs a healthy, balanced diet, including plants. When we till the soil, we take that opportunity away from them. We kill a lot of things in the soil. There are fungi and bacteria that are critical to growing healthy plants. And I know we've said we want to find a lab where we could actually test the nutrient density in our plants, our garden produce. And then that's also what our cattle and sheep and chickens are eating as well. And lo and behold, somebody came forward and handed me a couple of studies that, hey, I'm spot on. The no-till is giving us so much benefit in terms of nutrient value to the food that we eat, and then the food that we're giving to our cattle and sheep, our livestock.
Maureen, I have this wonderful fascination with our farms, our farmers, and our farming history in Wisconsin. But something you're just speaking about now is finding out these new practices that kind of do away with what seems to be decades long old practices just seem to be the norm. You tilled the land. I mean, that's not even just a farming term. That's a common phrase now, tilling the land. How with all the technology, and especially if they're doing conservation and taking care of the earth, what is the rate of these changes? Like, how many changes do you see just in your daily life versus farming in general? Like, no, we're just going to change the practice. That helps the ecosystem. That helps the biodiversity. That helps the land and helps the climate. How do you, like, what is the, can you speak to that? If I'm making any sense at all?
I think that what we're doing, it's new in a way, but it also isn't. You know, I think Native Americans planted differently than what we're doing with tilling.
Yeah.
I think we have to take what we learn, and people have come across no-till, and cover crops are really important. Keeping the ground covered. You look at the loss of soil off our farmland that's tilled and worked repeatedly in the spring. There was an accident last year, I believe it was last summer, in Illinois, central Illinois. There was a windstorm. Yeah. And on the interstate, there was a crash that took lives because of a dust storm that came up.
Oh,
tilled land.
Wow.
And you have a modern day dust storm with people traveling 70, 80 miles an hour. That's not a good thing. So that, and we're on the Baraboo River, and you look at the mud that flows. It's a cloudy river.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's because of farming practices. There goes our soil. Yeah. There is not a whole lot of soil left on farms.
Maureen Bula is our guest. We're going to continue our conversation. We have a very, very short break. If you can stay with us for just a couple of minutes, Maureen.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. It is that hour, the text to win hour on the Civic Media app. Here is this hour's word, bubbler.
Bubbler.
B-U-B-B-L-E-R, not plural.
Yep.
Not flubber.
Not plubber.
Not plubber. Blubber. Bubbler. Jeez. Bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R, is the word to text in right now to be entered in for all of these great prizes you can win. Part of our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest, Bubbler, until 12 o'clock today, B-U-B-B-L-E-R. And yes, you smarty, it's a drinking fountain, you cheeseheads. Okay, fine.
It's a bubbler. It's a bubbler. Done.
And everyone knows it's a bubbler.
It's a bubbler. It's soda. And I'm done.
All right. Our guest, very excited to be talking to Maureen Bula, who is the Pleasant Valley Farm in Baraboo. They're having a big event, kicking off the Wisconsin Women in Conservation event, their 2024 Field Day Series, with a farm tour and dinner at Bula's Pleasant Valley Farm in Baraboo, June 10th from 2:30 to 6 p.m. It's for all women identifying growers, landowners, farmers, farm workers, land managers, conservation professionals. The event is free, but you should pre-register. We will get those links in our show notes after the show is over. So, Maureen, what is going to happen at this event for the first field day of this year?
We get to welcome all these wonderful people out to the farm and share what it is that we do, the conservation practices that we've put in place on our farm. Critical to good food. And we get to share some of that good food at a dinner. Some of that will be coming from the farm. We have burgers, and I know there's something with maple syrup and something with rhubarb. Ooh. So that's all coming.
Come on, Maureen.
Hey, I'll make a special batch of those maple butter bars someday and share them with you.
That sounds really good.
You heard that? It's on a podcast. I can refer to this anytime I want.
We have witnesses now, Maureen. We have witnesses. I'm curious. I'm curious, Maureen, what do you think? I'm a city kid. I was raised, you know, I grew up in a small town, but I still grew up in the town. What are some of people's biggest misconceptions about Wisconsin's farmers?
I guess I have trouble with the phrase that Wisconsin or that America's farmers feed the world. A lot of farmers grow corn and soybeans. And personally, I don't survive off corn syrup or soybeans. I think small farms are critical to feeding us.
Yeah.
And I think we need to pay attention to where good food comes from and the food that we're eating. And it's really important. It's really important. Farmers, there are a lot of farmers that are actually hungry. They don't have food. If you grew up or if you're working a farm that's producing only soybeans and corn, maybe hay, what are you really able to eat? On our farm, I'm able to go out to the chicken coop, grab my eggs. I have meat from our livestock in the freezer and the gardens out front. And I have honey because we keep bees. We have the maple syrup. We eat well. We eat well.
I just think it's important, and that's why we like talking to people like you and who are smaller farmers in Wisconsin, to get a better appreciation of all you are doing and instituting these new practices, in these new conservation practices and new methods that are making things better for all of us and for the nutrition for all of us, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we enjoy what we do. We say we're retired, and I say that just means you get tired all over again. we do sleep really great. But the challenges that we face are usually challenges that we enjoy figuring things out and trying to problem solve. That's true for any job that anybody has. And I am not putting down large corn and soybean farms. That's necessary, too. But small farms, we can do a lot to take care of local people. Local people can find us. And we have a store actually on our farm. We just started that last summer. So we have a store of our produce and our products, as well as some other goodies.
Well, we'll have to come visit that on another road trip. Maureen, that's actually, I'm glad you brought that up regarding the larger farms. That's one thing I feel like, you know, we, as non-farmers, city dwellers, the lay people in that world, we tend to take the small farm, put you on our shoulders and act like we are the ones saying, protect the small farmers, when really we need to protect the farmers. It's not, I don't feel like it should be, actually, let me rephrase that. From what I've heard people say who work in the community, in your world, it's not us versus them, big versus small. It's all of us together. We all need to be protected, taken care of, and respected the way that our politicians and we claim to espouse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a rugged life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't go back and live in Madison ever again. I really enjoy the life that we've built and the farming life that we've got.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Maureen Bula is our guest with Bula's Pleasant Valley Farm in Baraboo, and they are having an event June 10th from 2:30 to 6 p.m., the 2024 Field Day, in conjunction with WeWick, which is Wisconsin Women in Conservation. We will include a link to this. If you still want to try and get registered, you do need to get registered so you know how many people are going to be showing up on your farm. Just real quickly, because we're just about out of time, Maureen, Did you ever have a favorite chicken and what was its name?
Brunhilde. Yes.
Brunhilde. Yes.
I love it.
She was not always pleasant, hence the name Brunhilde. I'm sorry if there's a Brunhilde out there that you just insulted.
But, we just lost our Brunhilde demo.
Very special girl.
Yeah.
A very special chicken. I love that. Maureen Brula, it's been a delight talking to you. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful event on June 10th. And I'm sure we will talk to you again a little bit further down the road. Maybe we'll even come and see you sometime.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maureen. Maureen Brula, again, with Pleasant Valley Farm in Baraboo, June 10th is their event from 2:30 to 6 p.m. We will put that link in our show notes at the end of the show. News is coming up next. Don't forget, you have until noon to text the word bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R. No plural, just bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R. And you sassy folks, don't even text in water fountain because it's not going to get you anywhere.
Nope.
News is next. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin B. on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you are watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We are joined every other Thursday. Now it's two Thursdays in a row. I screwed up my calendars a little bit.
No scheduling.
He is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru. J.R. Ratcliffe is here to talk all things sports. Thank you for being here, J.R. Thank you for making this work. I got to do one real quick thing before we start chatting. This is the hour for our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. So you have until noon via the Civic Media app to text the word bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R. Text the word bubbler via the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for some great prizes. One winner per hour while we play for a Wisconsin Dell Summer Prize Package. Congratulations to Kathy from Chippewa Falls and John from Oshkosh, who picked those up. Every day, one winner per day, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats. Greg has used them. You said they're really nice
they're
seats.
They're wonderful seats.
And then we have two fabulous grand prizes. You get to pick your staycation, and we even give you gas to get there and back. Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake, Lake Geneva at Harbor Shores, Door County at the Ridges Inn and Suites, and all entries, whether or not you win the daily or the hourly prize, everybody is going to be in the grand prize drawing, so you have lots of chances to win.
Mm-hmm.
And you can enter every hour that we play. It's a different text word every hour all through next week.
And you can get a special extra entry?
You can. You're going to get a bonus entry. Once you text the word bubbler via the app, you will get a response, and if you click on that, that will take you to, we want to make sure that you're registered to vote.
Yep.
Essentially.
This
so
is
it's
not
gonna,
partisan?
It's not partisan. It's not any, nope. We just want to make sure that people are involved in the democratic process and get involved to vote. So if you want to click on that, that will give you an extra bonus entry.
There you go.
And then Todd, Alba and I, our shows, do have a little happy competition going on for who gets the most entries. That's why I think next week one of his words should be chrysanthemum. I've suggested it. I don't know if that's going to fly or not.
Yeah, I mean,
I just put it out there.
I don't just. What was that?
The spirit of Wisconsin words. Oconomowoc, Armaguanago, Wauwatosa. There's a lot of options.
There's
here.
Lots of possibilities.
Yeah.
Thank you, JR. We'll bring you in on this next year.
You get a percentage of the winnings, son.
Absolutely. All right. Bubbler. B-U-B-B-L-E-R. Not blubber. Not flubber. It's bubbler. B-U-B-B. Baller. All right, let's talk sports balls, JR. And this is something, Greg, that that Greg has wanted to talk about for a while, and it kind of got away from us for a couple of weeks, but it's regarding baseball and baseball stats.
Yeah, so the MLB has decided to integrate the stats from the very long now defunct Negro Leagues of the late 19th century and early 20th century into the MLB stats, which is going to change the direction of, you know, baseball leaders as far as like hitters and whatnot. And I just saw a quote from Willie Mays. He goes, because of that, I got 10 more hits on my record, you know? And I wanted to talk to you about this, JR. It's a pretty big thing they're doing.
Yeah, it's a huge undertaking. And what we saw last week when this happened is kind of the big line items are things like Josh Gibson is now at the front of various stat categories. And it was already, I think, for people who understood the history of baseball, he's already a name of a guy that might be one of the greatest baseball players that ever lived. But now he's being compared to the guys who played what we consider mainstream Major League Baseball. He is statistically one of the greatest players who ever lived.
Yeah.
For the most part, everything else, I don't think it'll be outwardly noticeable. It's just when you do searches or when you're trying to, you know, find who is the best at this, the best at that, the Negro Leagues are now counted in the same way as Major League Baseball. Again, what we considered mainstream. This was a very difficult process. It took a lot of years to get this right because it's just so tricky to get the stats. It's about figuring out which leagues deserve to be considered major league, you know, and that comes down to competition. That comes down to schedule. A lot of these leagues played, you know, different schedules, different years. Some teams would join leagues one year and drop out another year. It's a lot like how youth sports are organized today. You know, you got kids coming in from different communities and then leaving. Like, how do you compare that? And there was this practice of barnstorming, which I think most people are familiar with, but sometimes you'd have a league schedule and then you'd have sort of an exhibition schedule where you'd go out and you'd, you know, play anybody who wanted to have you. And that wasn't maybe a major league game, so you could only count the 60 league games. And how do you compare a 60 league schedule to a 162 game schedule? There's a lot to consider.
And,
you know, it is notable too that they had previously done this in the 60s where they added leagues that were pre-major league, that did not the racially segregated leagues, but just precursors to MLB. They added those into the database as well. So there is a process here. You know, Hank Aaron played in the Negro Leagues. He hit 5 home runs. Those don't count because that was after a certain point where they felt like those leagues fell below major league caliber. So it requires a level of research, which leagues go in, which leagues don't. So I find that process fascinating, but it is a really nice way to level the playing field and say, look, what these guys were doing, they were playing full-fledged professional baseball, we think of it, and we have to count it as everything else. I think that's great.
And some of these guys, I mean, I can't talk about it enough, but the baseball documentary by Ken Burns, it's 24 hours long. It's beautiful. Some of these guys in these leagues were playing 3 games a day.
Mm-hmm. What?
They were doing doubleheaders in the morning and early afternoon. They pack up, they travel, and they do a night game. And by the way, just as a little aside, you know, I think last week celebrated the first night game in MLB history, which I believe took place in Cincinnati or Cleveland. That had been happening in that league, in the Negro Leagues, for years. They'd strapped those lights onto their buses and taken them with them, and nothing against MLB, but like just the ingenuity and the doggedness of wanting to play baseball. It's absolutely right that they're being recognized for who they are, because Josh Gibson is probably, in my opinion, top 5 baseball player who ever lived and now is getting the flowers.
Yeah. And, you know, we're still talking about an apples to oranges comparison on some level, and forget even the Negro Leagues, just, you know, Hugh Duffy, who hit 438 or 441 year, depending on what stats you consult. Had been the greatest single season batting average. Well, that's because it was different then, right? It's fewer games. It's just different standards of what you consider a hit versus an error versus quality. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to always be able to make a straight one-to-one comparison between the leagues of before modern era and now.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. You know, that they were ahead of their time in many ways. They're, you know, had an emphasis on showmanship in a way that I think is something we you know, like the Savannah Bananas kind of capture that now. It's sort of the equivalent of the way they barnstorm and just try to change things up, you know, make things interesting and have characters, have personalities, guys who were just truly great. You know, Satchel Paige claiming that he threw all these no-hitters. There's documentation of that necessarily, but
there's no documentation of his age.
So. Right, right. Well, and the documentation is the thing. Like, so much of this stuff exists in attics in North Carolina. You know, it's not stuff that's just available. Yeah. They have to really, really dig. You know, I talked to the MLB historian back in December of 2020, when this was announced that this was coming. And it took until 2024, even when they knew it was going to happen, it took until now for them to just get all their ducks in a row and make sure that they had all the right stats implemented in their database. It's a really cool thing for baseball nerds.
Well, and I guess it's certainly better late than never. Yeah. It only took them, you know, several decades, but they got it done. So that's a good thing. If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is our guest. He's the sports guru for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. While we're talking about baseball, Brewers not doing so, having such a good week.
Whatever.
It's been a rough start. They went to Philadelphia. The Phillies have the most wins in baseball right now. They've played a very, very easy schedule, but the Phillies showed why it doesn't really matter the schedule they're playing. They're going to be formidable, and that's what they're pitching. Their pitching is off the charts good. They didn't even face the Brewers in these three games that they lost, where they scored a grand total of two runs. They did not even face the guy that right now is kind of near the front of the Cy Young conversation, although I don't know if he'll stay there, in Ranger Suarez. Zach Wheeler's sensational. Aaron Nola's sensational. Christopher Sanchez, who's just kind of a guy, is also awesome. That's a tough team to play right now. So they ran into a hot team. I think the offense, strained a little bit. They're not as good as we saw the week against Chicago teams where they beat up on the Cubs and the White Sox. They're not that good. They're still good. Their offense shouldn't be discouraged completely by three games, but it is a reminder that they're not going to run away with anything. That this division is still not something that they're just going to, take and run with. They're going to have to scratch and claw a little bit, and they're going to need to show a little bit better in Detroit.
JR, I sent you notes like 2 hours ago saying you disagree with everything that people say regarding the Brewers, and you only say nice things. You only say nice things. I'm just kidding.
Did I say something nice by accident?
No. It was just so great to see 7.5 games. It was really great to see 7.5 games ahead of the Cardinals and the Cubs. And I know it'll be fine, but
it's a fleeting it's a fleeting victory because it's a long season.
That's baseball. Right.
There is the only one time in Brewers history that they've had a lead that significant and not won the division. That was back in 2017. They were up 8.5 games at one point, and that was later in June, and they didn't end up winning the division. But most teams that get out to that big of a lead, they do not fold. The teams that have gotten 13 above 500, which is where the Brewers were, no Brewers team has ever finished below 500 after getting that high up, no matter what time of the season it is. So, we are talking about a team that has shown itself to be a good team and to a team that should be favored at this point to win the division. But it is a super long season, and the Cubs aren't playing well. The Cardinals aren't playing well. They're gonna have their streaks too, where they're playing well. And I do think the Brewers will bounce back in Detroit. We're talking about a very different animal in terms of pitching, even though Detroit's pitching is pretty good, and that is a team playing well. But I think once you see Friday and Saturday, they'll figure some things out offensively, and it'll be all right again.
All right, we'll switch from baseball to basketball, and the NBA Finals get underway.
Yeah, finally. It's been...
the NBA Finals.
Yeah, the NBA Finals are here. It's Boston against Dallas. Some former Buck is going to win an NBA title. It's either going to be Jrue Holiday, who, of course, was with the Bucks the last 3 years and helped them win a title, or it's going to be Jason Kidd, the coach of the Dallas Mavericks, who... didn't have the best tenure in Milwaukee. There's some debate as to how much he influenced Giannis Antetokounmpo's career and kind of put him on a path towards success. But, Giannis speaks very highly of Jason Kidd. He's a bit controversial in Milwaukee, but he's got the Mavericks into the NBA Finals. It did take a long time to get here since the conference finals were both sweep. Well, one was a sweep, one was a five gamer. But this is going to be, I think, really interesting. And I know Bucks fans, they probably don't love the Celtics and they don't want to see good things for the Celtics, but it's so hard not to cheer for Jrue Holiday. He was so good here and still means so much in the community. And it would be really cool to see him win his second ring in 4 years. That's pretty impressive.
Okay. So personally, I've been a Celtics hater since back when the Bucks weren't even good. Hated the Celtics since Doc Rivers was the coach there. So this is a complicated series for me because I'm not a fan of Jason Kidd either.
Well, yeah.
But I'll be rooting for the Mavericks because I am a fan of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, even though Kyrie Irving has a complicated history.
Isn't Kyrie Irving crazy?
Yeah, he's nuts, but he's very fun to watch on the floor.
Okay.
All these complicated emotions I had no idea could be involved with basketball.
Well,
I
mean, once your team's out of it, you have to invent reasons to care.
You have to invest in someone else, right?
I get it. I try to talk about the French Open. Nobody cares.
It's on clay. You slide around. It's fun.
All right.
Sacre bleu. There is a story by my colleague Ben Steele who wrote about all the Wisconsin connections between these two teams. And there actually are a lot. Like Michael Finley, who's a very famous Wisconsin men's basketball player, has a front office position with the Mavericks. He's a big deal. Former Buck Jared Dudley is on the coaching staff there. Tracy Webster, who's a old-time Wisconsin. I say old-time. We're talking like 80s here. We're not going too far back. Early 90s even maybe. Tracy Webster's a scout with the Mavericks. He wrote a story about a Greendale High School kid who went to Whitewater and is now like a data analyst with the Boston Celtics. He kind of beg, borrowed, and steal to get a job in the NBA, and Boston liked what he was doing, and now he's trying to help Boston get a ring. You know, it's a pretty cool story that actually posted this morning at JS Online. So there are Wisconsin connections if you want to hitch your wagon to anything here. And if you want to cheer for the referees or the media, right, you know, things like that happen. That's fine.
Yeah, I just, yay, basketball. Sorry. I tried.
J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other week. Sometimes he joins us every week. Who knows what next week will bring? He's a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so very much, J.R. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you soon, guys.
Stay close, and don't forget, you have until noon to text the word Bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R, via the Civic Media app. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Suffers with defeat. That theory's backed up by empirical evidence. We're gonna grind up your guys into burger meat. Again, of course, we're speaking in the figurative sense. What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that you're gonna lose?
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You still have 10 minutes to enter a statewide text to win Summer Sconny contest. Some great prizes. Every hour that we play, somebody picks up a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. Every day, somebody gets a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats. Two grand prize winners. You get to pick where you want your staycation, either in Fort Atkinson, Lake Geneva, Door County. Will give you gas to get there and back. The word today is bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R. Good word. Like that word.
I love that word.
Bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R. Text in that word before noon. Your next chance will be coming up with the one and only and our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, in the 1 o'clock hour. I've heard the word is chrysanthemum. I'm not sure if that's true.
I heard it was rhododendron.
That could be the word too. You'll have to stick around and join Todd at 1 o'clock to find out. But right now, text the word bubbler, B-U-B-B-L-E-R, and good luck. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. It's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Good morning, girl. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm getting soaked up here in Wausau. How are you guys doing down south?
Is it still raining up there?
It did. We just had a really heavy downpour, some spotty showers in the Northwoods, but looks bright by you.
It is down here in Waukesha, and it has dropped about 15 degrees. I love this kind of weather, but we have like gale force winds going on in downtown Waukesha. It's really windy out there.
And no one can trust Gale. She eats your yogurt in the fridge. That was a terrible joke. I'm sorry. I just think whenever someone says gale force, I'm like, who's this Gale lady? Move on.
But
sorry.
It is really, really breezy down here.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, we're seeing gusts up to 35 to even 40 miles per hour. So,
is that statewide or is that just kind of south central Wisconsin?
That is statewide.
Dang.
Statewide. I know. Yeah. So some just gusty winds. It's really just, you know, a blast of reminder that it is spring and we can get cool.
Yes.
And here we are.
I saw flood warnings this morning coming in on my phone. What was that about?
Oh, you know, it takes a minute for all of the water to be absorbed in the ground and go to the river basins, and then it slowly rises those creeks and streams and rivers. And so that's kind of what's happening, is that delayed effect from the past 2 days of heavy downpours.
All that rain.
Yeah.
Goodness.
So are our farmers finally going to get a chance to dry out? And I think just even people trying to work in their gardens and mow their lawns, it's like, I can't get anything done. It keeps raining.
I agree. So today, mainly north, scattered showers. If you're south and especially west, you can probably cut the grass today. You're fine. You're good to go. Tomorrow is going to actually be partly sunny, still breezy, still cooler, but it will be mainly dry. So good news there.
Okay.
The next shot of rain does move in overnight tomorrow night and into early Saturday morning. We are looking at some heavy totals, maybe a half an inch to an inch through central Wisconsin. Right now, it looks like La Crosse, Eau Claire area through the Fox Valley. So way north and way south might avoid some of those heavier totals. But Saturday morning through the afternoon, a wet one. Then we're good to go for the rest of the weekend. And next week looks pretty dry up until maybe Tuesday. Looks like some rain pushing in. So
that's just Monday's going to be dry then. After that, it's going to be Monday's going to be dry. Tuesday, wet again.
And then Wednesday and Thursday will be dry. For now, we'll see. Now we're pushing a little too far for me to be
to forecast that far out, obviously, because things are very changeable. We're going to need a more specific forecast from you next week, Brittany, because Todd and I are going on the road. Todd Alba and I are going on the road. So on Tuesday, we're going to be in Madison. On Wednesday, we'll be in Richland Center. On Thursday, we're going to be in Eau Claire. And then on Friday, we're going to be my favorite place I've never been yet, Amory.
Ooh.
We're wrapping things up in Amory. So if you could give us a good stretch of weather as we're working our way up the state, because we're going to be at some parks, because we're hoping people will come out and watch the show and join the conversation. So hopefully we'll have some nice weather.
Brittany, are you near any of those places?
No, you're completely missing me.
Because you're in Wausau, right, Brittany?
Yeah, right smack dab in the middle, and you're going around.
Well, don't worry.
It's not intentional. It's not intentional.
Next, a week from Wednesday, we'll come right to your house. We'll bring pizza.
All right. You know, when the Twisters movie comes out, I want everyone to gather and watch.
And I'm losing you. I'm losing you, everybody. The connection's good.
Not a fan of the Twister remake, are we?
I've never seen it. I just don't need to. Just because you add an S to it doesn't make it intriguing.
No, I have to see it. I just can't. Well, no matter how Hollywooded it is.
We'll get a full movie report.
But that's kind of what got you into meteorology, was your own fear of storms, and then you confronted that and became a meteorologist, which I think is really cool.
Yep, I sure did. And I've chased them too. So definitely have to see that movie. But you hear about the hurricane season?
Yeah, I was going to say, you have a story up on our website at civicmedia.us, and you can go to the news tab. Our news department does a wonderful job. So let's talk about hurricanes.
So they are saying it is going to be the most aggressive, most active hurricane season yet. That's what the forecasters are saying. Now, I'm not a big hurricane forecaster. I specialize in the Midwest and tornadoes. But they are saying, 2023 last year was the fourth highest. 2020 was the most active. They had 29 named storms. This year, they're thinking anywhere from 17 to 25 named storms.
My goodness.
That's terrible.
13 of them becoming hurricanes. So that's 75 mile per hour winds plus. That's doing damage if those make landfall. Not all of these are going to be making landfall.
Right.
But 4 to 7 of them, 4 to 7 major hurricanes they're forecasting for. That's winds over 111 miles per hour plus the storm surge. And you think about how warm the Atlantic is, the melting and the active rain, our sea levels are higher. So that storm surge from any given hurricane could be worse this year than years past.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty crazy. We are right now in an El Nino, and we're switching from that to a La Nina by July, August timeframe. And with that switch in the patterns and the record-setting warm ocean temperatures that we've been seeing year after year, two things are fuel for hurricanes. You know, you get less wind out there, the wind shear trying to break those hurricanes up. That's what happens in a La Nina. And then the warmth. Fuel.
Check out Brittany's story at civicmedia.us. Brittany Merlot joins us every other Thursday at this time. Thank you so very much. We will see you next week. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and to our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you most of all to you for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is next, followed by Todd Alba. Stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.